Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Crime Weekly News. I'm Derek Lavasser.
And I'm Stephanie Harlow.
And tonight is going to be a different Crime Weekly News. This is a first, actually, for Crime Weekly News. You know, every week we talk about different cases, and the theme of Crime Weekly News is to talk about crimes in the headlines or talk about things that we find important, not necessarily because of the crime itself, but what we can learn from it, how we can take information from those cases to better protect ourselves and the people that we care about. Well, last week we discussed Bianca Devins, a case that Stephanie covered on her channel. If you haven't seen that, go watch it. What was interesting after talking about Bianca's case on Crime Weekly News, the main reason we were talking about it was because Bianca's mother, Kim Devins, is trying to get a law, Bianca's law, passed regarding, and just this is a generic description of it, but just trying to better protect people online. There's a lot more to it. And what happened this week is Kim actually emailed us and said that she saw the episode, she liked what we were talking about, and wanted to come on and elaborate on Bianca's law further and if we would be interested in that. As you guys know, we don't have a lot of guests on Crime Weekly or Crime Weekly News. It's not because we don't want to, but with that many people can sometimes get a little, it can get a little messy as far as everybody talking. And then also we are recording at weird times in some occasions where who wants to come on and talk to us at 1 o'clock in the morning. So with Kim's situation, it was a no-brainer. The minute she reached out, I called Stephanie, and we're like 100%. If she can use our platform to not only better explain Bianca's law, but potentially get more people to be on board with it by hearing from her directly, we're all for it. That's the goal of Crime Weekly News, is, again, to help better protect people. Well, what better way to do that than to help get legislation passed that would better protect all of us? And so we had the opportunity earlier today to sit down with Kim, and we didn't know how long the interview was going to be. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. I don't know how long it's going to be when we start to polish it up and edit it to make it more concise. But overall, we talked for over an hour. And so it was a really eye-opening and enlightening conversation. Kim is amazing, and you can see the drive and determination she has and this new purpose for getting a law passed that will not only benefit the people around her, but in a way, it's going forward with what Bianca would have wanted. So she's still living for Bianca, even though Bianca's no longer with us. Stephanie, what was your takeaway from all of it?
I mean, I said when we first started talking to Kim, I said we're the same age. You know, Kim and I are both 40. We both had our daughters when we were 17, and it was a very a weird thing because you kind of grow up with your child like that, and the internet wasn't super prevalent in my day. Like, we had the early version, like AOL dial-up and then message boards and MySpace. But then the internet took on a life of its own when my daughter was coming of age, and I didn't really know anything about it. I wasn't educated on that, and so it was a learning experience, and a lot of these younger kids now find their friends and their communities online. And when it comes to keeping them safe online, you don't know how to do that without cutting them off completely. And then you're cutting them off from a lot of their support system. So you don't know what to do as a parent sometimes. So I think it's very relatable. And I think a lot of people can relate to and understand what Kim is saying and why she's fighting so hard for her daughter.
Yeah, and you will see in this video, this interview that we had with Kim, she brings up a template that you can send to your local politician or your state politician, where by sharing this specific template, we're trying to get more exposure about Bianca's law. So she's going to reference it multiple times in the interview. If you want to check it out, you can go to the description box below if you're on YouTube. And if you're on audio, it's also there as well. We're going to put it into a Google Doc. So if you want to save it to your computer and share it with whoever is in charge of your district or your state, that would be greatly appreciated. One final thing, just a little bit of house cleaning. There's going to be an ad in this episode. To not get into the weeds here, we're contractually obligated to put certain ads in certain episodes. There's no way to avoid it. We didn't know this was going to happen. But just so you guys are clear on it, we will not be being compensated for this ad. We stand by the product. It's Cozy Earth. You're going to hear about them later. It has to be in the middle of the episode. It's all the specifics of the business. We can't change that. But it's going to be in there. You're going to see it. But before you go, oh, that's terrible, we are not being compensated for it. But we are contractually obligated to put it in there. So wanted to explain that for anybody who's going to come at us and say that's why we're doing it. And you have a clear conscience. We're not making any money off that ad whatsoever. This is about Kim. This is about Bianca and getting as much exposure as possible. Any final words before we hop into the interview, Stephanie?
No, let's
okay.
do it.
Without further ado, here's our interview with Kim Devens. We hope you take a lot out of it, and we hope that you follow her and her story, and maybe we'll make something happen. Here it is. All right. It's a pleasure to have Kim Devens here. She's going to be talking about Bianca. For anyone who doesn't know, last week we discussed Bianca's case briefly. Stephanie had covered it before on her channel. But the main reason we were covering it is because Kim is trying to get a new law called Bianca's Law passed. I'm going to let her go into the specifics. She had reached out via email. She wanted to come on here and talk about what she's trying to accomplish right now. And we're happy to give the platform to allow her to discuss it with you guys a little bit more in depth. Kim, thank you for joining us today. I'm not going to say much more. You can tell us what you want everyone to know. The floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
So I definitely want to talk about Bianca's law, talk about, you know, Bianca. I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about Bianca. And as we were speaking about raising teenagers on the internet, you know, before we started recording, one misconception about Bianca is that she was this liar and manipulator. But what have we always told our kids, you know, growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, we were always taught you don't give people on the internet your real name, your information. So Bianca never gave people her real name. You know, she was Ashley from California because she's not going to tell you where she really is. And people take that and run with it and say, oh, she was lying and she made up stories about who she was. And well, she was just trying to be safe. I think that's, you know, she kind of took some creative liberties, right? But she wasn't going to tell people her real information because that's just what she was taught her whole life.
Yeah. And I mean, it's I think a lot of people on the internet do that, right?
Right. Like, why am I going to tell you, you know, oh, I'm Bianca from Utica, New York. Here's my address.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just like one real frustrating thing is that a lot of people like to victim blame and take things that she did on the internet and, you know, twist them into, you know, some like she was just this bad person. She also had a lot of impersonators, people that would impersonate her online. There were just, I don't know, incels that really wanted, just like hated her and kind of attacked her and would impersonate her and send horrible messages to people. But I have to say, I can recognize Bianca's messages, the way she talks, the way she would text or type things. She never used capitals. So like, I've never seen actual messages between Bianca and Brandon online that are actually between them. There's very few messages out there that people have posted that are actually Bianca and came from her phone. I mean, I have her phone. I had her phone. A lot of people like to, you know, critique my parenting. I did what I was supposed to do. I knew Bianca's online friends. I went through her phone. I'll never say I know everything my 17-year-old did. Obviously, I'm not that naive.
Of course.
There's just a lot of fake screenshots out there.
And so I haven't covered the case in depth like Stephanie has. So what you're referring to, for anybody who's not familiar with Bianca's case as in depth as obviously you are, after what happened to Bianca happened, there were screenshots going around, what you're saying, basically after the fact, saying, oh, look at what she was sending to people. And
yes.
And you're saying those aren't even real. they're photoshopped.
Yeah, I've not.
Or they're fake accounts.
I think there's maybe one or two that were real.
Okay.
And they weren't between her and Brandon. Yeah, people would just Photoshop them or take conversations that they found of other people that had nothing to do with Bianca. There was one e-girl that did a interview pretty early on, and she said, that was my screenshot that I sent to a friend. And I was like, wow, look how these incels treat us. And people are posting it as, oh, that's, you know, Bianca. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Yeah. So another thing the internet can do, right, especially now, especially considering what we're talking about today, where it's not only how vicious people can be online, but also with the technology available today. And again, this happened in 2019, but even more so now with AI, people can fake videos, they can fake photo, they can fake interactions, DMs, text messaging. You really don't know what is real on the internet anymore.
Yeah, right. You really can't trust anything you see unless, you know from your own eyes it came from that person and you saw it on them type it out, because everything can be doctored and it's so easy.
So what are you trying to accomplish with Bianca's Law? For the people who haven't looked it up, what are you trying to accomplish with this new legislation?
Okay, so for a federal law, I'm proposing that we repeal Section 230. I would like to see Section 230, which for people that don't know, Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act is a federal law that basically gives blanket immunity to internet companies for what their third-party users post.
So you're talking Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, social media, basically.
Yeah, social media is the biggest problem, but I mean, Section 230 gives immunity to any company on the internet. Whatever your users post, these companies are not liable for.
Got it.
And I would like to repeal that completely. If not repeal it completely, have very narrow carve-outs that if, as in Bianca's situation, when there is a picture or a video or something, you know, it would first of all have to kind of define what illegal pictures are. I think that New York State does a pretty good job of defining what illegal content would be, which is, you know, a graphic, violent photo, which is intended to harass. So if there was a picture, you know, of someone being murdered going around, as in Bianca's picture, we would establish that, yes, that's illegal. It violates the law. And then the social media companies would be held accountable for removing it. I understand completely that we can't stop people from completely uploading everything. You know, things are going to get missed initially. But as in Bianca's case, we're 5 years in. The technology is there. It's been around since 2008 or before, where we can hash these pictures and make sure that they're not uploaded onto these sites. And in Bianca's law, the carve out to that Section 230 would be if these social media companies like Instagram and Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, if they are aware that there's a picture out there that is violating the federal law, they are legally held accountable to make sure that that's off their platform. And then it also should give a right to civil action, right? Like right now we can't sue.
At minimum.
And, you know, I know a lot of people are saying, you know, would like, oh, well, you know, you just want to make money off your daughter's death. No, absolutely not. That money should go into a victim's fund. But the only way to hit these, you know, social medias and make them pay attention or follow a law is you have to be able to sue them.
Hit their wallets.
Absolutely.
They don't really care about the criminal stuff as much, to be honest.
They don't.
Because they have the lawyers to keep it in court for years.
To keep it in court and get it dismissed, right? But if you can sue them, do a class action lawsuit, even a personal lawsuit, that's where you need to hit them. I mean, within days of Bianca's picture being disseminated, there was a Forbes article that said, you know, Instagram is profiting off of horror in the, you know, naming Bianca in the title. They definitely, you know, have made money. And that's why they just don't have any incentive to take these pictures down. The picture's still going around. It was sent to one of Bianca's close friends this morning. And it's just completely unacceptable.
This morning. So it's at this point, it's like people, and this is very, I think, common on the internet too, because you're speaking out, 5 years later, and have been speaking out, and you're saying basically, like, this is hurting us, this is hurting Bianca's friends, this is hurting Bianca's family, we need to put a stop to this. And it's almost like the people out there who are participating in it get excited by that. And it's like, oh, let's up the intensity. Let's keep doing it. It's like an invitation for them to continue harassing you. And I think it's a very real testament to the culture of not just the internet, but society, where people have just become so mean and anonymous, and they get off on hurting others.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that you want to talk about it to stop it, and when you do talk about it, you're giving them a reaction that they enjoy, and so they keep poking to get more of a reaction, and it's just this horrible vicious cycle that never ends.
That's exactly what's happening, and it's actually one count in particular on Instagram that has been reported for probably 2 years now. This account hasn't been taken down. It continuously sends that picture around.
What's the account?
It is Quindarian_Hoodwinkle.
Spell it, because everyone here should go and report it on our page. So everybody here, take a second. After she puts it up, Shannon can put it on the screen. We're not doxing anyone because we're talking about an individual screen name.
Account,
It's not personal information.
It's a public account. Yep.
So everybody here, please, if you can go over right now, pause the video, go over to Instagram and report this account. And I will do it as well right now.
Okay, it's QUINDARIAN_HOODWINCKLE.
Okay, we'll have that on the screen. Go over there, and it's a public account. And on that account right now, you're saying they're disseminating pictures of your daughter.
Yes, they are taking pictures of, they're putting my daughter's picture in with a collage of her friend, sending it to her friend. They're photoshopping her friend's face on Bianca's murdered body.
Maybe once 20 or 30,000 people report it, they'll take it down.
Maybe they'll pay attention.
It's not going to stop them from
making a new
creating
one.
Another one. But that's the
another
point.
Thing.
Oh, yeah. He has a backup account, too.
Yeah. When you get banned, then you can just, even if they ban you, all the accounts that are attached to that email, then people just make a new email.
Kim, do you have social media?
I do.
Is your account public or private?
Most of my accounts are private. My Instagram is private. My Facebook is private. I have a TikTok that's public.
Okay. The reason I ask is I'd like you to give that out. And I usually save this for the end, but if you want to give it out now, the reason being to kind of combat what Stephanie's saying and what you're saying, if people want to follow you somewhere, this is where they can follow you. And if there's another account that pops up and you want to get that information out to a lot of people quickly, and people here can go follow you. They can watch your account. And so whatever account you're comfortable with sharing, I think there's going to be people that want to follow you. And if they can help going forward with whoever pops up and what new account pops up, it could help.
Yeah. I mean, I always check my messages on Instagram. They can always message me on Instagram or follow me. I accept normal looking people. There's a lot of weird looking fake accounts.
But even if you have if your TikTok's public, even if they don't want to message you, if you want to get a name out there. So if you're on TikTok and there's a username that's harassing you or a loved one or a friend, you could put out a TikTok. And you get it out to a lot of people really fast.
So on TikTok, I'm at kim.devins.
Okay.
And on Instagram, I'm kdevins.
Perfect. Perfect. So her TikTok is public. If you want to follow her on TikTok, and if something comes up where you want to get a name out to a lot of people pretty quickly, TikTok's probably the way to do it, because that way they're not having to message you. You could get your story out to them. Okay. That's good. So we have that covered. So we're going to try to get that account shut down. And we have that information.
Instagram does have the ability to ban IP addresses. They've done it in the past.
Yep.
They just don't actually. It's really hard to get them to do that. We used to have a contact at Instagram. I think she was the global policy director. But she's – I don't even know if she works for Instagram. She either took a new job within Instagram or she doesn't work with
maybe
a company
moved.
Anymore. Yeah. So we lost our point of contact there. The only reason we had that point of contact because we were working with a local congressman. That's another one of my proposals for Bianca's Law, is that these social media companies, you know, the big ones at least, need to have a crisis response center.
That was a great point that you made. I loved that point, that there just needs to be a real person to speak to.
There needs to be a real person. There's never a real person to speak to. And it's not just photos like this.
A lot of things. Yeah.
It's a lot of things.
Where they can make a decision with a human brain on a case by case basis, instead of just using these very general guidelines and saying, oh, well, you know, this doesn't violate it here. It's like a real person needs to look at it objectively as a human, case by case.
There's not enough human moderators. And I know they said that they, after Bianca's picture went viral, they did say around 2020, they did hire thousands more human moderators. But every time we report something, it just, we get the message back that it doesn't go against their community guidelines. The frustrating thing is, so this morning with Bianca's friend, she reported the picture that was messaged to her. She got a violation because she called the guy a piece of shit. But the picture that he sent her didn't violate their community guidelines. And I know it's all within the technology, right? Words are easier for the algorithms to pick up and hash. But it just comes down to they have no incentive in to put the technology in place. That's there. It's there. The technology is out there. I've spoken to several, you know, computer experts. And why should they? Because go look at Bianca's Instagram account and she's constantly still has engagement.
Yeah, it's got to be more. And these are multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar companies. They have they hire people for marketing and engineering of the applications that we're using. They could definitely hire more people. And I do think there's a level of escalation where, to be fair, there's millions of people that are using these applications. So if everybody's submitting something, you can get inundated. But this is something that needs to be done when we talk about the mental health issues in this country and the fact that people are being harassed, and it can lead to more dangerous situations where you have young kids committing suicide based on what's being put about online about them. So is this something that's important? Absolutely. And I think your angle of attack is the right way to go, because right now these companies can always fall back on the laws, right? Like if you really want to change something, you have to go at the foundation, and that's the legislation. Because once they're not conforming to the legislation, that's when they can get themselves in trouble. So your approach, instead of just complaining about it online and hoping a few people, you know, doing nothing, not that there's anything wrong with petitions, but to be honest, a lot of the times it falls on deaf ears, even when you get the signatures required. You really got to go to the foundation of it and change the laws so that once those laws are enacted, these companies have no choice but to comply. And I definitely think what you're saying as far as to find them criminally liable, I could see how that would be a conundrum, right? Because then you have to find a specific person, and where does the buck stop? But with the civil action, it's the company you're going after, right? It's the LLC or the incorporation, whatever it is. And as we were saying earlier, when it's affecting their money, that's when they start to pay attention, because at the end of the day, all of these platforms are a for-profit business. So when they start losing money, that's when the higher-ups start paying attention.
Honestly, it's all about money.
Of course.
They're getting money off of engagement of my daughter's account, which is why they won't give me access to it. That's another proposed section of Bianca's law, would be that the perpetrator's accounts should be disbanded immediately. So Instagram, when that picture started going around, and he had pictures, he almost kind of like live posted what he was doing, right? He posted very cryptic messages. And then, you know, afterwards he posted like pictures with her body covered and pictures of himself with a knife. Bianca's account was immediately memorialized. Her account was actually logged into my phone, and I was going through it trying to find messages. His screen name had recently been changed, so I was looking for a different screen name than what it actually was. So I was going through it and I got kicked out because they memorialized it immediately. His account was left open for over 24 hours, and Instagram said that they had to verify that it was, you know, his account and that the crime actually was real.
Yeah.
They should immediately be disbanding these offending accounts. You know, he had pictures of a body. He had pictures of himself covered in blood with a knife. None of that should be allowed on a platform. There's no excuse. Instagram will always, you know, when asked, they will always overstate what they did. They basically did nothing.
So let me ask you, because obviously we know the internet, like you said, this internet's been around for a while. Some people still kind of look at it as this new emerging landscape, but it's been around long enough where there should be certain rules, regulations, and laws that are the same across the board. So you're not in gray areas all the time. However, we have all of these, like you said, okay, they can ban IP addresses. They can, but there's ways around that as well, right? There's always ways around everything when it comes to the internet, because technology has far surpassed what we as humans even ever expected it to, and we can't keep up with it. So we can't really police it or monitor it. And then these social media and internet companies use privacy as their scapegoat. Well, we can't, you know, compromise this user's privacy while still, you know, completely ignoring the privacy of these victims, like Bianca. Her privacy doesn't matter. The user's privacy that's posting these things matters. So they kind of hide behind the guise of privacy, and it's a slippery slope, because if you start, you know, telling people they can't say things, or if certain social media platforms start monitoring or policing what people are allowed to say or allowed to post, then they're going to lose users, and then other platforms are going to pop up where you don't have to do that, right? So that's why the federal law, making everything the same and equal across the board, is super important. How has the government in New York been reacting to you? Have they been helping you? Because I just know from living here that it doesn't seem law enforcement or the judicial system in New York is super victim focused at all.
I have found the same. You know, it's very frustrating. The New York law is great. It's a great first step. There's a similar law in California that came out after the Kobe Bryant pictures. You know, they were worried about those potentially being leaked. Bianca's friend just called the police about an hour ago, and she said he kind of blew her off and acted like he was annoying her, because really, what are they going to do? I mean, let's be honest.
But you have to report it. You have to make sure there's documentation.
Right. And it's like, and that's the frustrating part, because, okay, great, we passed this law, but how are we going to enforce it? And how do we need to get the police on board? You know, she called the state police. We need to get the police on board with actually enforcing it. And it's frustrating because we don't know where this person is. So I know you guys spoke last week, and I think, Derek, you said you brought up a great point that, like, really, how is law enforcement going to enforce this? It's in New York State. So if the person's in another state, we're not, you know, then we're not going to go through the extradition process and,
yeah,
you know, use all that money and resources over a misdemeanor.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
So let's just use Instagram, for example, although we're not attacking Instagram. It's all of them. But a perfect example, because we have it happen all the time, is someone will come in, make a report, and then I, as the detective, have to reach out to Instagram and get them to work with me to find out where this user is. Well, the same contact that you have to reach out to Instagram is the one that we have. There's no like law enforcement liaison that I know of. Maybe there's a back channel that has changed since I left the department. But when I was on, there was no law enforcement hotline that we could call to say, hey, listen, we have a subpoena from a judge and we're looking for records for this person. And so maybe that's changed since then, but that's where the real holdup happened. So I wasn't trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I want to manage expectations, because law enforcement, it's not like the movies where if someone reaches out and threatens you, I can call the people over at Instagram, fax over the affidavit from the judge that signed, you know, the search warrant, and within an hour, I'm going to know who the person is on the other end. Because even if we have all that in a perfect utopian world, a lot of the times the individual on the other end is taking different steps to ensure that even if you're able to track that account, it comes back to a VPN or something that's not going to relate back to them, a fictitious email, whatever it might be. So the hurdles law enforcement has to jump through to get there is extremely difficult, which is why I think it's so important what you're saying, which is at the end of the day, Instagram can stop this. Facebook can stop this. X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, can stop this. Reddit can stop this because they have the ability to go on there based on their policies and guidelines to make changes and get rid of these accounts when they're violating their policies without any law enforcement involved. And that's why I think what we were saying earlier is so important. We can avoid the hurdles that have to jump and the time it takes to jump through them if Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, they all just do their part and enforce their own policies correctly.
Right. Correct. You know, my dad worked for a medical device company for 41 years, and he always uses the comparison that, you know, back in the 70s, before medical device companies were regulated by the FDA, these companies kind of came together in the U.S. and self-regulated themselves. And this is what, you know, we're aiming to force these social media companies to do is, you know, they're not going to regulate themselves, which is ridiculous, but forced to be regulated. They need to be regulated. There needs to be consequences. We need to hold them accountable because they're just letting things go, you know, and it's strange because anytime I post something on Facebook or Instagram talking about social media regulation, I can do two posts like a minute apart, right? And the post with anything stating social media regulation or Bianca's Law gets far less views than just a regular old like picture of our family.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. It does not get pushed out. So, I mean, they're already, you know, hiding things. They have algorithms to do things like that, like push down certain posts
with
words and pictures. But yet they're not going to put the policy in place to protect people. And we're talking about harm here. Like, we are really harming so many young kids and, you know, young adults. I'm 40 years old. I have pretty thick skin. I have access to really good trauma therapy. I have a really, really good support system around me. I can take it, right? Like, I've been able to, I kind of just block it out, right? Like, doesn't even seem like when I talk about this stuff, it doesn't even seem like I'm talking about my own daughter. It's an outer body experience. You dissociate, right? So like I can get through it. But there's so many kids, you know, Bianca struggled with mental health. She was in a girls' home for mentally ill girls, young, you know, teenagers for 5 months. A lot of her friends that are getting harassed have severe mental health issues. And this is just making it worse. They're just being re-traumatized every time this picture gets popped up or sent to them. I've had experts, you know, call it psychological terrorism. And that's what it feels like. It feels like you can never, I'll never get over losing my daughter. I honestly, 5 years later, I don't think it gets any easier. If anything, it's harder, right? It's just like a longer time you've been without her. But every time, it just brings you back. Every time you have to see your daughter in that situation. And I'm forced to see my daughter in that situation. My brother has taken, you know, on that role of having to see his niece that he helped me raise. And, you know, we lived with him for a while. Having to see her exposed like that in that picture of her body. And we have to constantly see it so that we can stay on top of where's it being sent to, who's it being sent to, the platform, you know, and we can try to fight this and get it taken down. So even if people aren't sending it to us, unfortunately, we have asked people, please email it to me, send me screenshots, and we have to look at it so that we can get it taken down because we're always going to protect Bianca. I'm going to do what I can to not have my daughter exploited on the internet. I will do whatever I can. And unfortunately that means having to look at that picture over and over and over. And these kids are having to see it. You know, my biggest fear is Bianca has younger siblings and, you know, they're now teenagers, right? Her stepbrother is 15. Her sisters are, 14 and 13. Like, I can't imagine them seeing that. Bianca's sister is 6. She'll be 7 at the end of the month, and she loves YouTube shorts. Well, last week, I found there's a YouTube short with the picture of Bianca, and then there's like a pig eating meat over her wound. And all I could think of was, oh my goodness, what would happen if she saw that?
So how do you with your younger children now who are in their teenage years, that would obviously be a concern besides the concern of just having them on the internet. Now you have to worry about them being on the internet and seeing something about their sister that they're not prepared to see. And how do you manage that?
So for, you know, my 6.5-year-old, she doesn't know. I mean, she knows that baby's gone, baby's in heaven. She doesn't know, you know, the details of what happened to her. She doesn't know about the picture. Her YouTube is YouTube Kids. Her iPad is connected to my phone, my Apple account. I can see everything she's doing. You know, she doesn't really use the iPad unless she's around us. The older kids, we do what we can. They unfortunately, there did come a time where we had to sit them down and tell them about the picture and tell them that, you know, because it was going around on YouTube and certain things pop up and we just had to explain that this is what's happening and you need to be very, very careful. You know, they know not to open messages from people they don't know. You know, Instagram, and they'll blur the pictures first. So we always say, don't open any blurred pictures. Same with TikTok. You know, we've just had to really, really be very firm with them about social media and what they can and can't do, what they can, you know, that we've had to tell them, don't Google her name because it pops up in the Google images.
But you can't stop it now that they're older. Their friends are on the internet too.
Now that they're older.
Yeah, you can't stop their friends from sending them something. You can't talk to everybody. You can't,
right.
You can't put them in a bubble. And this is, it just has to be incredibly, you know, stressful all the time.
And that's the thing. I know I hate when people tell me, well, just delete your social media. Well, that's not fair because I've seen the best in social media. Okay. A Facebook group in 2012 saved my 12-year-old niece's life. She had a very rare form of cancer. And a Facebook group connected me with the best doctors in the U.S. that cured her.
Yeah.
I've That's seen amazing. The best. Yeah. You know what I mean? I've seen this great community. We have a Facebook group remembering Bianca Devins. And it's this amazing community that just honors her and shares stories and pictures and, you know, pictures, pink pictures and Hello Kitty and bees and anything that reminds you of Bianca. And obviously that really does help. It helps our family to see that she's not forgotten. So we've seen, you know, Bianca has found really good friends. Her internet friends are some of the most protective people over her in her memory. And, you know, I've stayed in touch with a lot of them. So I think the internet has a really good place in our lives, and it can be very useful. I mean, think about like the random things you learn on TikTok, right?
Got some good recipes off there.
I know, like some really, you know.
It's a great concept, and that's what it was for, and people coming together in all different areas who have similar interests, and it's still good for that. Even if you don't choose to put yourself on the internet, somebody else could film you in a store or put you on the internet without your knowledge, and then all of a sudden you're a part of this whole thing that you didn't even know you were a part of until you started getting threatening messages. So yeah, it's pretty rough.
I didn't ask to be put on the internet. I didn't ask for my daughter to be murdered so violently. I didn't ask for my daughter to be taken from me. And I did not certainly want those pictures to go viral. Here we are. And I'm constantly getting critiqued on my parenting. I have lies made up saying I gave Bianca drugs and that I was on drugs. I mean, I've never done a drug in my life. I'm like probably the most straight edge person you'd ever meet.
And you can't even like sue anybody for defamation or libel or anything because you don't even know who's behind those accounts.
I don't know. Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, right? You have these keyboard warriors that just say whatever they want.
Say whatever they want. Yeah.
A lot of these, you know, in the incel community, they just say things for a reaction, you know, which they're not going to get a reaction out of me because I'm an adult. I know how to handle that. Younger kids, you know, don't have as much impulse control. Just give them what they want. And it's awful. I don't even understand who these people are. Like, to be honest with you, it's 5 years later. What are you doing?
Yeah. No. And I think we said it last week when we were talking about your daughter. I think a lot of people in general, just talking about internet bullies or whatever you want to call them, trolls, hurt people. And for some individuals, I agree with what you're saying as far as internet being a place that can be really helpful, right? But it's still the Wild West.
Absolutely.
In relative to like time, it's still new, right? And it's going to, 100 years from now, it's going to be a completely different world. But I think moderation is important. And I also think understanding that although you may be on the internet for good reasons, there are individuals out there who this is all they have. This is all they have. This is their world. Everything outside of that doesn't matter. This is their reality. So when they go on the internet, they're going on there with a specific intent. And because of whatever circumstances are going on in their own life, they want to hurt others. That's their gratification. And so you have to understand that there are certain people, regardless of what you do, regardless of how much sense you make, regardless of how many times you rationalize what's going on, that's not going to matter to them because this is all they have. And so I think what you're doing overall, and this three-pronged attack of how to fix this, going after the legislation, looking at different ways to mitigate this through the companies that actually are in control of it, like Instagram, like Facebook, right? Trying to push or enforce an idea that there should be more humans on the other end monitoring these situations. And then also being proactive on the internet yourself, right? Like you said, I will do whatever I have to do for my daughter. I don't mind if I have to see the photo a million times, even though you shouldn't have to. You're going to be out there for her. But I also think the three of us as parents, understanding that we have children and understanding that the internet is a great thing, but I'll speak for my own kids. They're on it all the time. I have the screen times on there now and they get like an hour per day or an hour and a half per day. I don't know what it is, but they're always requesting more time. They're always requesting another 15 minutes. And it's funny you mentioned the YouTube shorts because that's what my youngest P is all about. She just wants to be on the shorts. And there's been times where she's scrolling through the shorts on the TV and some of the shorts that come up are not suitable for her, even though she's on like the kid version of it.
Not at all. Exactly. I agree.
And I'm like, whoa, I'm like, hold on a second. What was that one I just heard out of the side of my ear here that didn't sound like a Stitch short. So I feel like.
And they sneak them in there and then you're like, well, what is she hearing when I didn't hear
right,
when I'm not picking up?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she knew it too, because she scrolled past it quick. So mm-hmm. I knew she understood what was going on.
Same thing. Yep.
Kim, obviously this is a tragedy, what you're going through, and nobody should have to experience this. Are there any other things that you would like our viewers or listeners to know as not only as a parent, but as a human being, things that they may be able to do that you've unfortunately had to experience yourself and that you wouldn't have known unless you went through this? What is something that people can take away from this conversation today to maybe help better protect themselves or the people they care about?
So that's always a hard question for me, because 2020 hindsight, I've always looked back for 5 years and said, what could I have done differently to prevent this? And a lot of people want to blame the internet for what happened to Bianca. I don't blame the internet for her murder. She could have met him anywhere. He was local enough that she could have met him anywhere. She was going off to college. Even the police investigators, the DA that prosecuted the case, agree with that, right? Like, we don't blame the internet for the crime. The internet is to blame for exploiting her and the dissemination of those pictures. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you shouldn't meet someone online. Well, that's just a reality of the world we live in, right? Like, we just, people meet people online. She made some really, really good friends online. I think you just have to be careful. If your child is, you know, going on, Discord is a big one for these kids. And you have to monitor as best you can because Discord, you know, encrypts things. Bianca was big into Discord, but I was always going through her phone, right? Like trying to figure out, you know, they have apps. Bianca, when she was 15, she had an app on her phone that looked like a calculator. And it was, I don't even remember what it was, but it was some other like site that like led you to like different apps or like the internet or something. But you have to always just kind of, you have to do your best to monitor your kids. Also, make sure your kids, you know, have a world outside of the internet. And I know it's hard because Bianca, she struggled. She found it hard, you know, with her mental illness. She did find it hard to make connections outside, but she had friends outside in the real, you know, in real life, as they would call it. And get your kids off the internet for a while. It's just not realistic these days to say that our kids aren't going to be on these apps. You know, but you really have to just monitor it. Young teenagers, they shouldn't have public accounts because you never know who's going to stalk. That was my biggest thing with my girls was you never know who you're talking to. You think he's, someone's 14 years old. It could be this 52-year-old man that's just trying to groom you and, you know, get you to meet him. you really, really just have to be on top of things. My kids would try to block me on like Instagram, and I'd make fake Instagram accounts. They used to call me a stalker. They're like, how many fake accounts do you have? And I'm like, as many as I need, I will keep making them to figure out what you're doing. Don't block me. With my girls, Bianca, she would be 22, and my youngest Olivia is 20. And so all these, I had to kind of like, as we went, figure out all the new apps, right? Like I got on Instagram because my kids were on it. I have a Snapchat because my kids were on it. TikTok because I have a Twitter because Bianca was really into Twitter at one point when she was like 14. Some of these apps I don't even use anymore because my kids are adults now. But, you know, if your kid is on a social media platform, you need to be on that one too, just to see, you know, what's it about, what's going on, what's being posted, what are they potentially seeing? Because like you said, those YouTube shorts, even though, you know, my youngest Maddie is on YouTube Kids, like you said, there are some weird things that pop up.
Yeah. And it's also based on, we have a little bit of familiarity with the YouTube world. Age restricted. They're supposed to be labeling these certain videos, age restricted content. But a lot of content creators will not do that because it limits the amount of people who are seeing their videos. And at the end of the day, they don't care who sees them. Like all of our videos, it says right there, is this suitable for children? No, it's not. And so we have to click that. And if you don't, they'll usually demonetize you anyway. So it's something where some content creators will purposely not click that because it limits the amount of, they don't care who sees it. They just want people continuously scrolling through it, and that's all they need. So overall, I just think there's a lot that's going to happen. And I think people like yourself who unfortunately go through something that they shouldn't have to experience, but because of it, develop a new purpose. I can see that you have a new purpose in life. Your mission is to accomplish this for your daughter and for others like Bianca. And so I think having a platform where you can now tell your story and tell your daughter's story and hopefully start to change the way things are done. Again, it's very early on. Other people like you coming forward as well as a collective, hopefully something actually occurs. And I do think you're right in the sense of it's going to take the money to start being affected by these big companies before they make changes. Because what will happen, my hope, is that eventually if some type of civil litigation does go forward, what their lawyers will start telling them is, hey, in order to mitigate and create less exposure to these types of cases, you have to create a department within your organization that's specifically designed to answer these type of things. So that when you get sued, you can say, look at what we have here. We have a whole staff of people that do this every single day. So they won't be doing it for the right reasons, but they'll still be doing it. And we see it with other organizations and other programs that are now there in order to mitigate civil litigation. So that's what I'm hoping in this situation, where unfortunately enough situations like this occur, they start to actually change because now their profits are being affected.
Right. And, you know, I think we also need to get more support for this. You know, I think we need to as many like bigger creators as we can get. I think once people start to demand change is when we're going to see the change. You know, I had an attorney that was working on this case and was in communication with Instagram and Facebook. First thing they did was try to, you know, just pay me off and make me go away. And as they wanted to talk about a settlement was like the first communication back from them. And as soon as I refused that, because this isn't about money for me, there's no amount of money that is going to bring my daughter back. And there's no amount of money that is going to take back or help all of this trauma that my family and Bianca's friends are going through constantly. So I immediately, you know, we said, no, this isn't about a settlement. And the communication kind of dropped from then, right? Because they don't have to answer to us. They were going to try to quick throw some money at me to make me go away because they can, you know, whatever they wanted. I don't think we even got to a number, but they would probably be something that wouldn't affect them. And I'm not going away because this isn't about money. This is about my daughter. It's about other people's kids. And it's just we need change. I think we need the numbers. You know, I have a template if people want, and I can send it to you, and we somehow maybe can figure out how to have people access it.
We could probably, if you send us a Google Doc, we can probably put it in the description. We can put it in the description box below. Yeah.
And it's just a template too that you can, you know, send email, mail, whatever to your congressperson and, you know, demand that we need change. We need a law in place. But you know, just me doing it isn't helping. I've tried with my local congressperson. I did have one congressperson that introduced a law in 2020. And then he lost his election that November. The next congressperson drafted a bill, and then New York was redistricted. So she was no longer my congressperson. The current one hasn't responded. You know, my hopes are, like, if we can get this template out there and people just send it to their Congress, maybe someone will pay attention and take this up. Because it's just such important legislation that needs to go into effect. There's no other way to
create a Google Doc. We can definitely throw that up, because that was going to be one of the last questions I asked you, was what can we do? And not only Stephanie and I, but also just everybody watching or listening today, what can they do? And I think your answer would be this template, right? Would be getting this out to the legislators in your town or your state.
Exactly. That's the only way we're going to get attention, is if enough people are calling for action and calling for change. Maybe someone, we just need to find, you know, those few people that are in the right place to actually, you know, make some sort of change and introduce this legislation, because it's so important. And it's not just graphic photos, it's child exploitation.
Before we go, I want to ask you one thing. We're going to leave the episode with this. Obviously, right now, Bianca is seen a certain way on the internet, and whether she's viewed as the victim that she became, or the, you know, bright light that she was in life, or if she's being seen as, like you said, you know, this bad person who lied and this, this and that. Obviously, none of those things are 100% true. There's so much more to her. If you could change the narrative about how Bianca was seen, and you could talk about her in a way that you'd want her to be perceived as she really was by the person who know her the best, her mother, what would you say about her?
Oh, Bianca, what would I say about her? I would say she was just an absolute joy. Like, she was, when you say someone, like, everyone always says, oh, they lit up the room. She really did. Bianca struggled with mental health. She had borderline personality disorder, and she really struggled for a while with depression. And even in her darkest times, she would help her friends, right? So, like, where she didn't feel like, you know, she had any worth to her, she couldn't see her worth, she couldn't see, you know, past what her brain and her disorder was telling her about herself, she always uplifted her friends. She always made time to listen to them and help them. I think, you know, just the amount of lives that I've been told that she's touched and that she's encouraged, I feel like that's a really hard thing when you can't even pull yourself out of the darkness, that you can pull other people. I always said, you know, Bianca wasn't good at practicing what she preached, but she really, really could help people. She had so much empathy for people. She always gave people the benefit of the doubt. You know, she met a lot of predators on the internet, and she would try to give people the benefit of the doubt in the beginning. And then, you know, she was a protector. She was a fierce protector of her friends. If she saw someone, you know, being groomed or being bullied, or, you know, she got them away from the people that were harming them. She, you know, made people see, like, a different way of life and, like, the way they can do things. She was just such a great, she was so special. It's kind of hard to talk about, because I just know the potential that she had. Like, she wanted to be a psychologist because she wanted to help people. It hurts to see, like, that potential was cut so short. She loved being a big sister, and her siblings were everything. You know, Olivia was always her baby, no matter how old they were. Loyal. That was my only problem with Bianca and Olivia, is from the time that Olivia was born, those two would not snitch on each other.
They closed ranks, right?
They completely closed ranks, and you did not snitch on each other. you know, I mean, she really, really just a loyal friend. And she cared. She cared about other people and helping people. She, you know, would stand up for people that were being bullied. I see the Aubrey Wyatt case and her mother being silenced. And I can hear Bianca screaming with frustration, you know, like Bianca would have been shouting her name from the rooftops and, you know, keeping her going. And she was really, really special.
I think a lot of times people who need the most give the most because they feel like this is how I would want to be handled. This is what I would want. I would want somebody loyal. I would want somebody to not judge me. I would want somebody to unconditionally support me. Mm-hmm. And so they don't feel comfortable taking that if they're not also giving it. And those are the best kinds of people.
And that's,
honestly,
you know, Bianca grew up with a really strong support. So her and I were very, very close. She was very close with my parents and her aunts and uncles. And she had all these people where when she felt brought down by the depression and just, you know, I can't fight anymore, she had people to fight for, right? Like she told me, like, I could never really actually harm myself because of what it would do to you. It's the hardest part of losing her is because there were times where she fought for me and her sisters. She knew she had to stay alive for us. And then she was taken. And that's so hard. At the end of the day, it's like, it's just...
It's devastating. Yeah.
Yeah. When you fought so hard for, it was like 4 to 5 years. We really, really fought and finally got her healthy and on track. And then for someone to take her from us is just an unexplainable feeling.
It just feels very unfair.
It's yeah. That's like something I scream all the time. It's just not fair.
I say it all the time. I've been doing this since I was 20 years old. And it wasn't until I became a parent myself where I really started to think about what parents of these victims go through. And I, even to this day, even though I've done hundreds of these cases, I just don't know how you do it. And the amount of courage it takes to get up every day and put one foot in front of the other after losing a child. And your not ability to not only keep going, but also to take this negative, this horrific situation and try to turn it into something that may benefit other kids like Bianca in the future. I have nothing but admiration for you because I don't personally know if I would be able to do what you're doing. I don't know if I'd be able to come on here and talk about it publicly like this and continue to fight even in the face of adversity where it seems like a lot of people are closing doors. So your determination is something that I'm extremely impressed by, and I'm glad that you came on today and talked about it because we can talk about it. We try to use Crime Weekly News to take these. We talk about horrific stories every week, but with Crime Weekly News specifically, it's like, what can we take from it? How can we learn from it in our own lives? But it never is going to hit as hard as it's going to hit, like hearing from someone who's actually experienced it and is going through it. So I think I think everyone here today is going to get a lot out of what you had to say.
I hope so, because I wasn't given the choice, right? Like I have no other choice. There's days where I don't get out of bed. And there's days where like I can't function, but I can't stay that way. I have other kids that need me. Very early on after losing Bianca, I had a dream where she came to me and told me, you have to be happy. You can do this. You're going to help people and you have to go on and fight for me. And I just replay that over like the days that I struggle to get out of bed, right? Like, or struggle to just barely function. I remind myself that she would want me to fight for her, fight for other people, because that's what she would be doing. If she was here, that's what she would be doing. You know, if it happened to someone else, she would be the first one to step up and advocate. And it's just, you know, we're not given a choice.
It's incredible what you're doing. And I really hope that covering it on here and talking about it and having more people be aware of it, especially now, hearing from you directly, anybody out there who's listening or watching, you can not only listen to this story, but you can be part of it, which is why, do you want to give your contact information one more time, Kim, so that everyone has it? What you're comfortable with as far as if people want to follow you or reach out, where they can follow your journey as you continue on from here?
So my Instagram is Kay Devins. My TikTok is at Kim.Devins.
Okay. And that template, you're going to try to put it into Google Docs.
I can very easily copy and paste it if it's not already there.
It'll be in the description below. So you guys, if you want to take this template and send it to your local person that is in charge of this, your congressman, your senator, your House of Representative, whatever it might be, get it out to as many people as possible. It takes 10 minutes to share it. It takes 10 minutes to email it. So that'll be in the description box below. Kim, thank you for reaching out. We appreciate you being here. Stephanie, any final words from you?
Thank you.
No, thank you so much, Kim. And Bianca, she sounded amazing. And I'm glad you're still working on it, because a lot of people would not be strong enough to. I don't know, like Derek said, I don't know if I would be.
Well,
a lot of respect.
We have a lot of, there's some negatives associated with it right now. There's some people using her death in wrong ways. Maybe if this all goes the way you want it to go, Bianca's name will take on a new legacy as far as her tragedy and what it can do for other children like her and other adults like her.
Right.
So that's the goal here now, is to take this. There's certain things we can't change, but we can dictate what we learn from it and what happens because of it.
Right.
So, and I think you're going to be the major part of that. So appreciate you being here, guys. Make sure you go follow Kim's story and we will stay up to date on it. And if there are any things that come up with it, we will make sure we share it with you here on Crime Weekly News. Everyone stay safe out there. We will see you later this week.
Bye.
Hi.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.